One, two, you know what to do.
All right.
Hi there, this is a March Work Show. It's Pledge Drive Week. My name is Paul Smart. We're going to get you to open your wallets for this radio station this hour.
Up tight, super, get it out of the frame. I shake my leg on the ground like an epileptic battery. Man, I'm making my moves, letting loose like a belt. Little worse for wear, but I'm wearing it well. Tell me, what's wrong with a little grind and bump? When the stereos are rough with the kick, drum, punch. But you do it once, I'll be doing it again and again. You did it before, but you're more erratic than them. When you had a rough night, the vibe's just begun. Let a little bit of this pass with its done. Don't let it hold you back. But you're already dead. No dead flowers gonna grow till the dirt gets wet. Put the elevator music on. Pull me back where I belong. And you're in sing along. The fire in the wall doesn't know what's wrong. If I can forget myself, find another lie to tell. If I had a soul to sell, I'd buy some time to talk. In a bottle of pain, it's like the schoolhouse lights will never turn on again. Till the bottom wears off with these high heel boots. The body's all moved, some backbone roots. Everybody working hard till the yard's all clean. The dishes wash good in the washing machine. Now you brush your teeth and you comb back your hair. You drive your vehicle like you just didn't care. You walk into work with the boys and the girls, and you're doing it to death. It's the end of the world. Now there's everybody sweating, forgetting what's on their minds. With your hand like the mirror, you can see what's inside. When you're down and out, powdered, and there's nothing that's real. It's like a plastic heart, too amputated to feel. I got a soda can Bible song, a paranoid jumbo drum. Thoughts at the weekend call. The fire on the wall doesn't know what's wrong. If I could forget myself, find another lie to tell. The bottle full of water well. The cell phone's ring to talk to my brain cell.
Decided to talk to Phil Grant, who fills many of our mornings here at WGXC-FM. In fact, I spent a couple of years once a week dishing the news with Phil. Here's his story and why he thinks you should be giving money to WGXC-FM this week.
Well, the clock rings at 5 o'clock. I get up around 5:30. And see, now that we've moved the show to 7 o'clock, it's a little bit easier. It was one time I was starting at 6, but yeah. We haven't. But it's early in the morning, up and out. But it's I tell you, Paul, it doesn't seem like work.
Are you preparing stuff like the night before? Mm-hmm.
The night before,
and
I usually
have like a constant flow of stuff.
Right. I narrowed the show down to. Opening up with news and weather, and then we talk about what important thing happened on this day in history, or whose birthday it is, and so I've got all of that looked up, so I know that if this is the day that Bud Abbott was born, Then I've got queued up Who's on First. We'll talk about that. And this was the day in history. Yesterday was the birthday of the Buffalo Chicken Wing. So I've got Rufus Thomas's Funky Chicken set up for music. And then, of course, on really special days, I'll dedicate a whole program, you know, Martin Luther King's birthday, the day Pete Seeger died, you know, so then I prep a whole show. But usually the theme of the first hour is always kicking off of something that happened in history.
Uh-huh.
And then I just match a song to it. I started with GXC on their first day, February 3 years ago. The morning show was divided up by days, and I started off sharing the mic. We really didn't have a format, you know, it just started, but I knew that's what I wanted to do once I took a look at radio after I got out of radio school. I realized that I wanted ownership of what I do, as opposed to working for Clear Channel and doing what they say to do. Go back 45 years ago, when I came back from the Army, I wanted to be in radio, and so I went to goodness, this is 1969. I went to the New York School of Announcing and Speech. In Manhattan, and I got out, but the problem was that back then teletype was the, you know, there was no PCs and computers. Teletype was the form of communication, and if you were a teletype operator, you had one of the top skills, and I was a teletype operator from the Army, and so I had a job at on probation company on the New York Stock, on the American Stock Exchange, and at night I had a part-time job at CBS typing the news, and I was making good money, and a DJ wasn't making anything. And at the very young age of 20, I had decided to get married and have a child, so I never pursued what I really wanted to do.
And how did you shift over to the post office?
I went to Marine Midland Bank. And I became an assistant operations officer. I was in charge of all of the three shifts of telex operators. And there, of course, I had salesmen coming in. And one of the salesmen used to have me demonstrate his equipment in my office, the equipment that was in my teletype center. I would demonstrate that equipment for his prospects, and he liked my style, and he said, have you ever thought of being a salesman? I'll train you. And I left Marine Midland Bank and became a salesman selling telecommunication services, and was pretty much successful. And because of my skills from the Army, because not only was I a teletop operator, but I was, you know, I learned in Vietnam, I learned wire and telephone communications. So I started, I decided to jump out there and start my own company. And what I did was, all around Wall Street, the tiny companies, the import-export companies, the mom-and-pop companies, they all had phone systems and teletype equipment, but they couldn't get the kind of service from AT&T, and but you could get it if one guy was providing it. So I became that guy, and all over that Wall Street area, all those mom and pop companies, the import export companies, on 34th Street, all of the garment companies, I provided them with a telephone service. They were better off hiring me than, because if you bought a little Merlin from AT&T, they charge you a fortune for the Merlin. They charge you a fortune for the install, where I could purchase the same equipment and install it for, you know, half as much.
Uh-huh.
So I did that for about 11 or 12 years. But and you got to remember then when you bought a fax machine, a fax machine wasn't purchased at the store. You had to go to a dealer,
uh-huh.
and you had to have it installed. But you know, as technology changed, pretty soon if you wanted a fax machine, you just you went to the store and bought one. And teletype went out with once the modem came and you could communicate PC to PC, so that business dwindled. And personally, I didn't keep up with the market. I didn't I didn't keep up with the changes, and so I needed a way to make a living. I was trying to keep my business going, and Vietnam veterans were a shoe-in at the Postal Service. You could go in as a custodian.
Uh-huh.
So I took a night job as a custodian for the Postal Service while I tried to keep my business going. And when the business finally crashed and burned, I had management experience, so I just simply applied for a management position at the Postal Service and finished out the last 18 years as a customer service supervisor for the Postal Service.
And you're living in the city all this time.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
And how did you move up to Chatham?
Well, my middle son, we took all three of our kids. We tried to get them out of the public school system, and my middle son was that one boy that we needed to make sure that he was someplace that he could stay out of trouble. And so my wife found the Hoosick School up here. And so we sent him up here to Hoosick, and we started coming up here every other week and for their special occasions. And every time we came up, we would drive all over the place. Uh-huh. And we just fell in love with this area. And I decided, I said, when I retire, you know, this is where I want to be. I want to come up here. Uh-huh. I liked it. You come up here, we had seen it in all three seasons. I liked it. You know, it was the kind of country living that we really wanted. And so sure enough, as my last years with the Postal Service came along, we up and left Brooklyn and came up here.
So through the post office, you were able to have, was there a retirement package that you were able to?
Well, because I was in the Army for 3 years, so I only had to work for the Postal Service for 17 years to have a total of 20. Mm-hmm. So if I had 20 and I was 62, I could leave. So by the time I was 62, I had 21 years. So I could retire. So I retired, took my Social Security and pension, and got myself a part-time job and said, I'm going to be a radio DJ. So I went to, here in Albany, the New School of Radio and Television Arts, and I got out of there, and I looked around at the jobs that were available for me, and I had job offers. But when I found out about WGXE, it was different because, you know, I wasn't retiring and then going back and working for the man.
Uh-huh.
At this time, I could come in and work for myself, produce my own show, you know, fall on my face and get back up again. So I just couldn't pass up the offer. I loved it.
Hi, this is the Pledge Drive edition of The Work Show, and we're speaking with morning host Phil Grant here at WGXE-FM.
I remember the old WWRL and WABC, Cousin Brucey, and Murray Decay. And the thing that I remember the most is that it was eclectic. There was no such thing as a jazz radio station, a country western station, a hip-hop station, a soul station. When you listen to the radio, when you listen to ABC, if you listen to Cousin Brucey, he played Johnny Cash, and then the next song would be Brenda Lee, and the next song would be James Brown. And so you didn't get yourself locked into one kind of music. Which I think is what's happening now, which I think is bad.
Yeah,
you don't get to hear everything. So
the news would filter through all of this.
And the news would filter. That's right. The news was every 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
to give you a short news blurb. And I like that old style radio, and in the community radio setting, I think it's absolutely perfect, because anybody can with my show, anybody who wants to hear something, I'll play it.
It's from
country western to soul to whatever a person wants to hear. So you're liable to hear a classic. Well, you know, you're liable to hear a classic song, classical music 1 minute, the Pavarotti 1 minute, and James Brown the next. And I think it makes interesting radio.
What's the relationship between those things that you really love and work? I mean, have there been times where they come together completely? Are there times... I know a lot of people just drive to find something that completely matches.
Right, and you hear this story, you hear this all the time. If you love what you do, then it's not work. And, of course, that is true, but it really comes out when you're actually doing something that you love to do. From the time I got to the station, I love coming in here. So it's no problem to me at all. There's been a few times where I've come in and I felt like this was laborious.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, once I park the car and I walk in the station, it all goes away. So it's not like the days when I got up in the morning and went to the Postal Service, because I was going there because I had to go.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't particularly, you know, I took pride in my job, but I didn't particularly like, you know, my job. So I guess I understand now how a musician feels, or an artist, someone who is doing something that they're passionate about. And so that's the difference when I come here.
So then that also changes the kind of relationship of money to it all, because here...
Yeah.
The money that everybody's phoning in to pledge,
mm-hmm.
right now is to sustain that opportunity, that sense.
That's
of
correct.
Place.
That's correct. That's correct.
As much as it would be nice to sustain.
That's
put
correct.
Food on the table.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. It's a mission of love. Period. It's 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, because I love it, and that's the only thing I'm gonna get out of it is love.
So you've pulled a lot out of this, and what do you feel that you've given to the community along the way? Besides your blood and guts and soul,
I haven't quite put my finger on it, because every time I think I'm giving one thing, it turns out to be another. More people have told me, Galen, it being one of them, and I just ran into somebody just the other day who told me the exact same thing. When at 7 o'clock in the morning, when I have the kids in the car waiting for the school bus, we listen to you. And I said, "Your kids?" And they're talking about 9, 10. Your kids? Oh, they love the show.
Uh-huh.
And, what's their name? So I find out their names and I talk to them while they're in the car. And so I have a fan base that I never even knew that I had. And then you have the regular community. I'll get phone calls from people who say, "Oh, man, I love to hear that old Motown," or "play more Ella Fitzgerald."
And what's the biggest reason that people should be phoning in and pledging this week?
Well, this station, and I guess you know, has matured so much over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... as far as news and information, which is the other hat that I wear as a newscaster, I know there is nowhere in Greene or Columbia County that you can get local news and local information other than WGXE.
Yeah.
And the average Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Mary and Jane, working all day. They come home from work. They've got to get Susie to soccer practice and Billy to baseball practice. They don't have time to go to the town meetings. They don't have time to find out what's going on in the school board.
Mm-hmm.
But here we've got people who voluntarily attend those meetings, record those meetings, and bring that information back to the community. Mm-hmm. And I think once we get that out to the public, and the public really understands, more and more people understand what it is that we're providing them, I think it's going to be wonderful. This is our third year, like I said, now I see town mayors are coming to WTXA. And when legislators are running for office now, they're coming to WGXE. So I really think we are going to be a source of information in this community. But it takes money. Mm-hmm. It takes money. Right? And right now, we just keep the lights on. But if we could really get a base of income coming in where we can spread out and really bring some very good local news information that the community needs, then we'll be the station that they'll turn to.
The information.
This is the Work Show. My name is Paul Smart. For the next few minutes, we're going to pass it over to some live people in the studio who will take your calls to pledge to keep this show and this station on the air. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The information is lavish. Take a tape feeds the mind. Looking for a last transmission. For heaven that we left behind. When the information comes, we'll know.
Information comes with love, who we're made from. On the skyline lies in the sunrise, I see you.
This rhythm, they act like Earth was terrestrial prison. A zoo for humans put their cities into ruins. Now we can feel what we're doing. Renew the stratosphere in plastic. Wonder out aloud, it's spastic. What else can the dust try to tell us? Coming to you, 1,000 beats per minute. 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 Categorized in a crash with credentials in the backstage. Pass gasoline.
Hi, my name is Paul Smart for The Work Show, and this being Pledge Week, and this being a show about the work that's entailed here at WGXE, it made sense that we speak to the woman who's the executive director of the organization that oversees all of this, and who helped come up with this entire idea for a community radio station here in Columbia and Greene counties. We speak now with Galen Joseph Hunter about the origins of WGXE and what it brings to this community.
Coming to you 1,000 beats per minute. Coming to
I'm the executive director of Wave Farm. Wave Farm is the nonprofit arts organization that started WGXE. WGXE is one of our three major programs. Wave Farm is based in Greene County. We were originally founded as an artist collective in Brooklyn in 1997, and we moved up to Greene County in 2004. And the things that we do, our three major programs are our transmission arts programs, which include a pretty thriving and exciting international artist residency program, and an online archive of transmission artworks and artists. We also have a 24/7 online radio station that has been in existence since 2001, and as our WGXC listeners know, kind of merges with the 90.7 FM feed late nights and on Saturdays. And then there's WGXC. And then the third thing we do, which has been growing exponentially, is our media arts grants programs, which serve media artists and organizations across the state, and our partnership with the New York State Council on the Arts.
And then you've also got the Study Center coming along.
Right. The Study Center is part of our transmission arts programs and residencies. And in fact, we have some really big plans in the works for this spring, which we're super excited about. We will be announcing our 2014 artist residence April 1st. This year, we received applicants from 12 countries and 10 different states. And we've been doing some major upgrades and updates to the study center, including we're installing Wi-Fi across the property. And we are also installing a very site-specific AM radio feed. So people will only be able to tune in via AM radios on the property, but this is another transmission medium for our artists to play with. So the whole idea of transmission art is artists who are engaging the airwaves as their creative tool, and so now they'll have access to AM, they have access to WGXC, they have access to shortwave and walkie-talkie and maritime and everything else under the sun we can figure out and get our hands on.
Tell me how Wave Farm came about, and you know its genesis, and how the GXC kind of came out of all of that.
Sure. Wave Farm was originally, we're actually incorporated under the name Free 103.9. This was the name of an artist collective started in 1997 in Brooklyn by our artistic director and my husband, Tom Rowe, who also has a big voice and hand in keeping GXC afloat. And two of his collaborators, a drummer named Greg Anderson and a visual artist named Violet Hopkins. They started Free 103.9 as a micro radio station, a kind of really, really micro power station that would float around to different rooftops and different events in Brooklyn. And the whole idea behind micro radio is giving people access to their own airwaves. And there's a big movement in the mid-90s helping to bring low-power FM around. So Free 103.9 started with those origins. What happened in Brooklyn was that the community of people playing with micro radio and participating in this collective were artists, and they started thinking about their actions with radio frequencies as artwork. And it was pretty exciting. The medium being approached conceptually and formally. And I think I came from a nonprofit arts background. I met Tom in 2000. And at that time, there was a real, I think, explosion of activity around this idea of transmission art. And mm-hmm. we decided that if, with the guidance of the New York State Council of the Arts, if this was something that was really emerging, and we might want to consider formalizing as a nonprofit to support these activities, and that's what happened. In 2004, we operated a performance venue in South Williamsburg in Brooklyn for many years. That was a place for transmission art and experimental sound and free jazz and noise. And in 2004, we set our sights on establishing some kind of residency program upstate for these artists, knowing that the spectrum, the transmission spectrum, the radio spectrum was very congested in New York City, and that bringing these folks into a rural kind of utopian physical space would also mean a more wide-open transmission space for people to make work.
And you knew this area from school?
Yes, I went to Bard College in the early 90s. I actually lived in Hudson in 1995.
So you've seen this community in various different permutations at this point.
I was actually born 2 hours west of Caro, New York. So I'm super local.
And so then how did you find actual Wave Farm? How did that whole...
Well, my brother actually was living in Greene County. He had settled in Greene County post-college, and Tom and I would visit him, and one of his roommates noticed that this property was for sale by owner, and it turned out to be exactly what we were looking for, so...
And then the idea of GXC, was that kind of behind the scenes all along, or how did that come about?
Well, the first murmurings of the FCC opening a full power window happened in 2006. So it was 2 years after we had already relocated, and this was a very unusual opportunity. It was an opportunity for nonprofits to secure a license for a non-commercial educational station. And I think for two reasons, it ended up being that this is what we had to do. One, we came out of this history of micro-radio and advocacy for people having access to their own airwaves. And as we all know, up here, there's very little local media. And so this seemed like we could stand up for what we've been saying we believe in for so long and actually create a space for that.
Was there anybody else in the micro radio movement who went after or have gotten FM stations? Or is...
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I'm sure Tom does. Our peers to us were Prometheus Radio, who used to be called Radio Mutiny. And when Free 103.9 became an arts organization, Radio Mutiny became Prometheus, became an advocacy group and real an entity that helped other groups secure licensed stations. So I think in the early 2000s, a lot of micro radio stations evolved into their next phase, as we did. The other piece to making community and local media available was saying, well, okay, so our mission is about transmission arts and artists having access to transmission technologies. Here is an absolutely unprecedented opportunity to say, okay, artists, here's FM radio and you get to work with it. I mean, there are very, very few, if any, stations in the U.S. that give the kind of airtime to creative and risky work the way that WGXC does, and that's something I'm extremely proud of. We're a member of the Radio Network, which is now 25, I believe, stations across the world that talk about this is a network of stations that are committed to radio as an artistic medium, and we're the only station in the U.S. that's a part of this consortium, and it's a shame that it's so few, but I'm really proud of standing up for that kind of work.
Hi, this is Paul Smart with The Pledge Show. We're talking with Galen Joseph Hunter about WGXC and what it brings to the Columbia and Greene County community and why you should be pledging dollars to help keep us on the air.
In the formative moments, there were the work team, as it were, where it was comprised of myself, Tom Rowe, Dharma Daly, and Liza Dichter, all of us being from Greene County. And we partook in a ton of public meetings. Tom, in particular, was everywhere and as in many places as possible, tabling for the station, asking people, "What do you want to hear on the air? Is this something you want? Is this something the community needs?" We established the advisory group, the founding WGXC Radio Council, and we invited people to join that group that we thought were reflective of our listening audience. And those voices established a mission for the station, really spoke to the community local aspect of what the station should be. And that was very intentional too. You know, Liza, Dharma, and Tom and I remember very vividly sat around a table and said, we can't be the voice in the face of this, of the community part of the station. At the time, we were all in our 30s or just turned 40, I guess. And, you know, we were, had all been living somewhere else relatively recently. And we knew that was not, those are not the minds that should be making decisions for a community project like that. And we needed to immediately get other voices and input happening.
The move towards funding, there was a big grant that then had to be matched, right?
The station got off the air initially because thanks to a public telecommunications facilities program grant, which actually came out of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and that grant doesn't exist anymore. We were one of, I think there was one more period after ours that that funding was available. And so they awarded us up to $71,000 and change to pay for 50% of equipment purchases to get on the air.
And then it was just like an all-out push for a number of years, right?
It was. Well, not a number of years. It was quite a lot quicker than that.
Quick,
we had to come up with a match quite quickly. But that brings us to the fact that I'm sitting here in the midst of a pledge drive with you. And it was an incredible achievement to get on the air. And it's an incredible thing to stay on the air. And the station was always conceived as a listener-supported project, and listener support is how the station is going to continue.
And what have you found as both someone involved and a listener? What has WGXC kind of provided to your experience living here?
Well, I'm constantly learning about things I don't know already. I'm very impressed by this extraordinary staff that we have running the station, which is Lynn Sloniker as station manager, Katie Donnelly as program director, and Jess Puglisi as outreach coordinator. And I've never known three people that work as hard as they do, and really, I think, have the best interests of the listening community in mind and work tirelessly on making sure the station is as diverse as it is. I love the fact that I, in the same two-hour period, we'll hear something that I absolutely love and something that I don't like at all. And that's the multiplicity of voices and sounds and ideas. Like, that's the utopian vision for the project, and I feel like there's a lot of success on that level.
You go back and forth to the city each week for your own work, right?
Well, less frequently, thank goodness now. As little as possible, but yes, I'm still in the city sometimes.
And when you do, the only reason I bring it up is that, is there something about coming home that when you can suddenly get within the wavelength?
Yes, I'm a very early riser, and driving home from the Hudson's train station late at night is an unpleasant thing for me, except for the fact that that is some of my favorite WGXE time, because when I come home from the city, I usually am catching the last hour or so of the 9:30 to midnight.
Okay.
And it's not a time that I'm usually listening to the radio when I'm here. So I really enjoy that time. And the shows, and the station has exquisite music programming. In terms of like coming in and out of signal range. Of course, when I'm driving, I come in and out, but the WGXC is available everywhere thanks to it being online. So there's less of that phasing in and out, I guess.
And then as part of this larger wave farm universe, what place does GXC kind of hold as a project?
Well, it's one of our, we refer to WGXC as a program division. It's one of our three major activities, and it's very interrelated into all of what we're doing. I mean, the fact that our artists in residence come and make content for WGXC, have that access, is key. The fact that we're creating unique radio art and making creative radio possible is very much to do with our interest in cultivating and fostering media arts statewide, and that's what we do through our granting program.
And that's all having an effect in terms of, there seem to be people actually moving into the area because of all of this. It's part of the equation.
Yeah, I think so. And that's pretty exciting. It's a better and better place to live all the time, I think.
And what is your, you have a daughter the same age as my son, and what's her feeling about GXC? I know she's been on it from a very early age.
She loves it. I'm sure there'll be a time at some point where she doesn't, but at the moment it's still magical, and she's proud to be associated with it. She's, literally jumped with joy when I asked her if she would help answer phones during the pledge drive. So it's all terrific now.
And then just something that I keep returning to on the work show here is just that interplay between doing, Lewis Hyde wrote a book about all of this called The Gift, and it's about the separation between what we do for money and what we do for love. How we spend our time, and how does this all play into? You've gotten closer than a lot of people to pulling kind of income from areas that are close to where your avocation, where your interests are, et cetera. But where's your?
Well, I grew up in a family that worked in nonprofit arts. So that's kind of what I was raised knowing. My father was the artistic director for an experimental theater company, and then went on to be eventually was a professor of theater. No one's thriving financially from this kind of professional choice, but it is a gift to believe in what you do and love what you do. And I think maybe unfortunately, it still requires several different sorts of jobs converging to make one mortgage payment possible, but but I do feel very lucky I wake up and I get out of bed within seconds looking forward to the day.
And what is the major kind of message out there for those who are hearing this? They should pledge, right? And why?
People who are listening, people who believe that WGXC makes their lives more interesting and more enjoyable, people who believe in a community project being able to thrive and grow and exist, people who want to have a tax deduction. I don't think we talk about that enough. This is a nonprofit entity, and people who haven't done their taxes yet will be doing them shortly, and we're all reminded of what an impact making charitable contributions has on your bottom line. So there's advantages, and the station's not possible without listener support. So it's as simple as that.
Give.
This has been the March edition of The Work Show. our Pledge Drive edition. We hope that you've been calling in and donating money to keep us on the air. This week we spoke to Philip Grant, who does many of our morning shows during the drive time hour here on WGXC, and to Executive Director Galen Joseph Hunter about some of the origins of WGXC. Music this week has been from the seminal Beck album, The Information, from I guess it was like 8 years ago now. And we look forward to being back with you next month in April, tax month. Ooh, there's a subject. Until then, keep on working.
master like an illuminated manuscript, you know, made by monks. They hand do them, but in record form. And, but you'd have to have it hand done each time.
Like depending, like change depending on what mood you're in. Like the best, you know, they, or depending on like when you listen to them at a different age, they'll mean something different.
I don't like it when they change. It frightens me.
You want them to
it
stay
makes
the same
me feel
way.
Like someone's pushing me from below and trying to put me, turn me over and put me down. That's what it makes me feel like when they change. It has to tell you how to live. It is an instruction guide. It's subtle. It doesn't push, it nudges. It entices. Or it seduces. It has to encompass the whole world, everything that has been, is, and will be, and could take it into space. And that's why you need a spaceship. Because that's ultimately what space travel was all about, was sending our ship from Earth into space. And not just in some, like, space shuttle. It's got all the foam coming off it. You need your own glowing, you know, multicolored spaceship. It would be inside the spaceship and also the spaceship. Do you know what I'm saying? Like an exoskeleton.